Now, let's turn to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and I am going to read verses 2 through 12. I will have the words up here on the screen. I read out of an NASB translation. Please follow along with me in your Bibles. And if you have your place, Galatians 5, 2, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. And God's word says this, starting with verse number 2 of Galatians 5. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. We'll stop there. Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Father, once again, we continue on in this study in the book of Galatians. There's things that we need to learn, things that we need to understand, and truths that will help us in our Christian walk and in our spiritual growth. Father, I pray that new truths will be revealed to us here today, and may your scriptures transform us from the inside out. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Today we continue in this expository study of the book of Galatians, and this is message number 35. And I have titled today's message, Him Who Calls You. You either believe in a God-centered theology, or you believe in a man-centered theology. You either believe that God is sovereign, or you believe that man is sovereign. You either believe that God made a choice for you in salvation, election, or you made a choice for him, free will. Since October the 21st of 2007, which was my first day here at Beech Grove Church, I have always been preaching a God-centered theology. And I always will preach a God-centered theology, because it is what the Bible teaches. And where you stand on this issue makes a major difference in, one, how you interpret the scriptures. Number two, how you think about the security and assurance of your salvation. Number three, how you view your Christian walk. And number four, how you view God and how you view man. And it makes a major difference too in how the Apostle Paul was viewing the Galatians 2,000 years ago and their stand as Christians. He's beginning to question, are they truly Christians or not? And this circumcision issue will define that answer. Last week we covered verses 2 through 6 in Galatians chapter 5, but we spent most of our time in verse number 4. We ask the question, can a true believer fall from grace? And that term, fall from grace, is what a lot of people equate to losing their salvation. So we asked the question last week, can a true believer lose their salvation? And that answer is no, they cannot. The one who professes the faith, but does not possess the faith, will fall from grace. Why will they fall from grace? Jesus gives us that answer in the parable of the soils in Matthew chapter 13. And let's look at some of that text. Matthew 13, verses 20 and 21. Before I read that, we all know the parable of the soils. The sower is throwing out the seed. The seed is the word of God. It lands on four different soils. One soil over here, nothing happens. It never takes root. Nothing happens. We understand that one. Over here on the other extreme, it lands on good soil. It produces a crop 30, 60, 100 fold. We understand that. But there's two soils in between that Jesus is talking about, and I want to bring them to your attention here this morning. Jesus says this, the one on, and he's given the interpretation of his own parable. The one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. You can see that this person on whom this seed fell receives it with joy. He looks good on the outside. But what happens? When affliction and persecution arises because of the word of God, what happens? It's only temporary. He falls away. He just can't take the pressure. And he falls away. The other soil, Jesus says this in Matthew 13, 22. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The worries of the world. If we were to look at the Galatians, the worries of the world would be this. They were being pressured into saying, if you don't receive circumcision, you are not saved. You must still continue to adhere to the Mosaic law. And that worried a lot of those people, and maybe many of them fell away. And it also says that the deceitfulness of wealth can cause this. Well, these people who fall away, who profess a faith but never possess a faith, are called apostates. We talked about them last week. They fall from a professed faith. Could some of these Galatians be apostates? Absolutely. There always has been, and there always will be, apostates as part of churches. They exist in churches today. Trust me. Well, last week we covered verses 2 through 6, but today I want to do a quick review of these verses and then move on to verses 7 through 12. And I'm going to be putting each verse up here individually, just do a quick explanation of it, and then we'll move on. The first verse, Galatians 5:2. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'm going to take a total tangent here, and I'm going to bring up a subject that is really one of my church pet peeves, and that is women in pastors in ordained ministry. What does the Word of God say? 1 Timothy 2:12, but I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. Now, why would I bring that verse up in the middle of the book of Galatians? Because those who endorse women as pastors will say, this is not God speaking. It is Paul speaking, because he uses the word I. But I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. So it's not the word of God, it's the word of Paul, and Paul was a misogynist, and he did not like women. That is their argument. Let's take their argument back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. If you're going to use that logic in 1 Timothy chapter 2 to endorse the fact that women can't teach and preach and have authority over men, then you got to use the same logic right here. And if you do, that makes this entire text and this entire book fall to pieces. Because it's not God speaking anymore, it's Paul speaking. Just thought I'd bring that up. Because it's an issue that bothers me, and it bothers me. And you wonder why churches are failing today? It's because churches are disobedient to the word of God. Amen. Let me move on. Let me get back to verse 2. What does he mean by what he's actually saying here? Galatians, if you want to follow the pathway of works, and in this case circumcision, because that's what false teachers are teaching, then the sacrifice of Christ means nothing. It doesn't benefit you one bit. If you want to benefit anybody, you better benefit yourself by your own works. And he continues that argument in verse number 3. And I, there's the word I again, and I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the entire law. And if works, if circumcision is the path that you want to take, then you better keep the entire law. Because that is what you're going to be judged by. You're going to be judged by the law. Moving on, verse number 4. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. I focused on this one verse last week. If you want to know more about it, go back and listen to last week's message. People who fall from grace, now don't confuse falling from grace with losing your salvation. People who fall from grace are called apostates. They profess the faith, but they never possess the faith. They have tasted all the benefits of grace. That's what I covered last week, Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. But because of affliction or persecution or whatever else, they have fallen from grace. They never had roots. They're only temporary. They will fall away. Galatians 5, 5, moving on. For we through the Spirit by faith are waiting for the hope of righteousness. The true believer has the Holy Spirit dwelling inside them, and they know that their righteousness comes through faith in Christ and through Christ alone, and not by trying to attain it for themselves. We, through the Spirit, by faith, that's how a person gets saved. They have always gotten saved through faith. They always will get saved through faith. Galatians 5, 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. He's telling the Galatians this, forget about circumcision, people. It means nothing if you have it or if you don't have it. The only thing that matters is your faith in Jesus Christ because of his love for you. So do you have that faith or don't you have that faith? Verse number 7, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? The Apostle Paul had been to these churches in Galatia 5 years prior. He knows how he left them. He got them off to a good start. He sowed the seed, and they seemed to be eager for the good news of Jesus Christ. And we find that same thing in churches all over the world today. And they seem to be running well. Now he wants to know, who's teaching you this false doctrine, this stuff about circumcision? I don't know if he's looking for specific names or not, but this false teaching gotta stop. People's eternity is at stake here. Do we realize the importance between believing in faith in Christ and Christ alone and believing in faith along with works? Folks, let me tell it to you. I've been telling you the last 34 weeks. It's a matter of being saved or not being saved. If you need to contribute to your salvation, then you believe in a false gospel. And that's what the whole book of Galatians is about. Moving on. Galatians 5:8. He says this, "This persuasion did not come from him who calls you." There it is. That's the title of our message this morning. Him who calls you. This verse speaks of a very important truth that I want to bring out here this morning. And this is where you need to decide, people, if you're going to buy into divine election or you're not going to buy into divine election. The believer is called by God. They are his elect. Let's look at some verses. And I'm going to put something from Romans up here now. But I bet you each and every one of us in here knows Romans 8:28. And it says this, "For we know that all things work for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose." Okay, we know that verse. And called according to his purpose. How many of us know Romans 8:29 and 30? The verses that follow that. Well, let's put it up here this morning. "For those whom he foreknew..." We'll stop there. Foreknew means this. "For before the foundations of the world, he knew those who he was going to choose." Knew means he loved unconditionally. "He also predestined to what? To become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called," an effectual call. Hey, I'm calling my sheep. My sheep know me and I know them. "And those whom he called, he also justified, made right in the eyes of the Father. And these whom he justified, he also glorified." He has it written there as past tense, as if it's something that's already happened. It's something that will happen to us in the future. Romans 8:29 through 30. We got to understand that those of us who are saved are the elect, and we have been called to that election. Now, can we, the elect, fall into the hands of false teachers? Let's look at some other verses. Matthew 24:24. This is on the Olivet Discourse, right before Jesus is ready to die. Here in a couple hours, he's going to be arrested. And he tells the disciples this, "For false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect." And what he's saying here is this, a lot of people are going to be misled. Those who are part of that root by the thorns and those who have very shallow ground. But the elect, if possible, in other words, he's saying this, it's not possible that the elect can be misled. The elect are not and cannot be persuaded by false teaching. Him who calls you. John chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. This is the chapter about the good shepherd. "My sheep know me and I know them." And he says this, the words of Jesus, "To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." The elect, those who are called by God, those who are his sheep, will not follow a false teacher. The elect are not and cannot be persuaded by false teaching. Him who calls you. Let's move on. Verse number 9. "A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough." I think we all understand this verse. We've heard this one many times. Paul wants to remind the Galatians and also warn the Galatians that a little leaven, in this case a little false teaching, could easily permeate the entire church. And he does not want that to happen. And he uses the same phrase in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, when he warns the Corinthians to expel the immoral brother before his immoral actions become contagious to the whole church. Put that guy out of the church. These things cannot become contagious. Why? Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Moving on, verse number 10. "I have confidence in you and the Lord that you will adopt no other view. But the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is." Paul is both encouraging and optimistic towards the Galatians that they will see their error, E-R-R-O-R, their error, that they've fallen into this trap, of false teaching, and go back to a righteousness that is found in Christ Jesus and Him alone. But the second part of that verse, he's not so optimistic about the false teacher or teachers who are proliferating this false gospel. And he says this, they will be judged, and they will be judged harshly. And we know that because of what James 3:1 says. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. You know, it seems like in today's church, just anyone and everybody thinks that they can teach and preach the Word of God. So you want to be teachers, do you? Well, let me warn everybody, you better get the teaching right. I am convinced, Luke 12, go back and read it, at the end of the chapter, verses 42 through 47, that there are degrees of hot in hell. I'm convinced of that. And I'm convinced that these false teachers are going to find themselves in the hottest of the hot for misleading people down a path of destruction. Some of these false teachers today, they better have their best life now on the face of this earth, because the next one isn't going to be very pleasant, I assure you. Galatians 5:11, we're almost through. But I again, brother, are we going to just dismiss those verses, or are they the word of God? I'll let you decide. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. This is a little complicated statement, so let me kind of try to rephrase what Paul is saying here. He's saying this, hey Galatians, if I am still preaching circumcision, then there is no need for the cross of Jesus Christ. And that means I told you the same thing that the false teachers have been telling you. So if that's the case, then why are you persecuting me? But it wasn't the case. When the false teachers came in and spoke their false teachings of works and circumcision to the Galatians, they swayed the people to that Paul was the one who was the false teacher. He teaches about the cross and the cross alone. So let's make him look bad. He's the bad guy. And that is the reason Paul is getting persecuted, because his preaching was about the cross and the cross alone. 1 Corinthians 22, verses 24, chapter 1. For indeed, Jews ask for signs, and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are to the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. The Jews thought the cross of Christ was a stumbling block. They thought the cross of Jesus is not a sign. The Jews were thinking, we need more signs. We need more wonders. We need more of the miraculous. And the Greeks, they thought the cross was foolishness. There is no wisdom in the cross of Jesus Christ. Only fools die on crosses. He can't be a savior. The cross, the message of the cross, it's way too simple. And by faith alone, that's way too simple. There must be more. There must be more signs. There must be more wisdom. And folks, that's why a person like me got to love the cross of Jesus Christ, because I don't need any more signs. And certainly a person like me doesn't need any more wisdom. The cross speaks for itself. Amen? And the cross alone. Wow. Galatians 5:12. We're going to end kind of on a light note here this morning. I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. Now, I don't know how much you may have been paying attention to your Bible translation, but the NASB uses the word mutilate themselves. I'm going to put up here what other Bible translations say. Okay? Instead of even mutilate themselves, other Bible translations say this. I wish they would even emasculate themselves. I wish that they would castrate themselves. I wish that they would go beyond circumcision. I wish that they would go all the way and cut themselves off. I wish that they would cut off much more. I wish that they would make themselves eunuchs. Got my attention. I cringe every time I read this verse. Can you tell how upset Paul is with these false teachers that he would go as far as to say this? And we must remember this, that the Apostle Paul is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he writes this. So can you imagine how upset the Holy Spirit is with false teachers in churches then and now? Go as far as cut it off. Cut it off. That will teach them. It will teach me. Serious stuff, folks. When preachers are coming in and preaching false doctrine, Paul says this, if they're preaching circumcision, tell them to go all the way. Don't just cut a little bit off. Take it all. Paul wants the Galatians to be assured of two things. Number one, there are false teachers, and they're teaching damning doctrine in churches then and now. And number two, Galatians, but you must not be afraid of them. If you have been called by God, if you have been called by God, Him who calls you, the sheep will never follow a stranger. His sheep will never fall prey to damning doctrine. Folks, if He foreknew you before the foundations of the world, He will predestine you to be conformed into the image of His Son. And if He predestined you, He will effectually call you as one of His own. And if He called you, He will justify you. He will make you right in the sight of the Father. And if He justified you, in the end, He will glorify you. What a great promise that we have through the words of Scripture. Him who calls you. Rest assured, Beech Grove, if you are one that He has called, God has you in His protective hands and in His protective power. And no one or nothing can ever snatch you away. Not even false teachers preaching circumcision or any kind of works that are required for salvation. How do we get saved? By faith, and faith alone in Christ Jesus. That's what the whole book of Galatians is about. Any other religion or any other teaching that teaches you different is teaching you false doctrine. And there's consequences for those who do. Let's pray.